Hello.
Hello.
Greetings from Hartford. We're pleased to share in your special 70th anniversary. It's a significant milestone in the story of the church, and Jacqueline and I are glad to have been part of that story for 15 years, from 1977 to 1992. This was a formative time for our two boys, Peter and John, and we thank God for the years we spent as a family in Thornhill. On this church anniversary, I want to share with you a key passage of scripture about what it means to be the people of God in the world today. Jacqueline's now going to read to us from 1 Peter chapter 2.
1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4, and it's entitled The Living Stone and a Chosen People. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering sacrificial, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Thank you. The story is told of the late Queen Mother, who was once visiting a nursing home in Scotland. And walking round the room, she came across an old lady who seemed rather confused. She said to the lady, "Do you know who I am?" To which the old lady replied, "No, but don't worry, dear. Ask Matron and she will tell you." Do we know who we are as church? This is the challenge Peter raises in that passage. He's writing to a group of young Christians scattered by persecution to different parts of the Mediterranean world. Far from their familiar surroundings, they become strangers in an alien culture. But Peter reminds them of their identity as followers of Jesus and as part of his church. As we seek to be church in our culture, and especially as we face the challenge of being church in a COVID-changed world, we need reminding of who we are in Christ. A significant anniversary is a good time to do that, as we give thanks for the past and look forward to the future. Let me explore two pictures Peter uses to describe the church in these verses. In verses 4 and 5, he says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God." The first picture is the church as a building under construction. Like living stones, you are being built into a spiritual house. Now, we know the church is the people, not the physical building, but this building metaphor is a powerful reminder of the nature of the church. In the first place, I think it helps us be realistic. Our son John is having a house built near Cambridge, and over the past 12 months, we've been seeing it develop from drawings to foundations to a visible structure. And recently, we walked round a very messy building site. And as we did so, we could see clearly what the house will look like when it's finished. Any building is going to be a messy work in progress. The church is a work in progress. And that means at times church life can be messy and feel unsatisfactory and unfinished. During my time at Thornhill, I remember a key Christian book being published by Derek Copley, the principal of Moorlands Bible College. It had the humorous title, Building with Bananas. A reminder that God is using odd-shaped people like you and me to build his church. We don't always fit together easily and naturally, and that can make life church life frustrating and messy. But isn't that encouraging? There is no perfect church, and we can never be the finished product this side of heaven. So let's remember the church is a work in progress, as indeed are we as individual Christians. But secondly, this picture gives us hope and future vision. Now, this metaphor of a building was special for Peter because it reminded him of the nickname Jesus had given him when he was first called to follow Jesus. John tells us in the opening chapter of his gospel, Simon is introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. And when Jesus meets Simon, he says, "You are Simon, but you're going to be called Peter or Petros," which means rocky. And later on, Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock of your faith and commitment to me, I will build my church." Jesus looked at Peter with all his rough edges and saw the potential of what he could become. What he could become by God's grace and spirit working in him. Now he's towards the end of his life and he's writing to these young Christians. And he's reminding them of what they can become through God's grace as they allow his spirit to shape and empower them. This is our hope as we face the challenge of being church here in this city and neighborhood. God is at work by his spirit. And as the song reminds us, one of my favorite songs, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your spirit till your work on earth is done." Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So at this milestone in your story, be realistic as you see where you are, but have renewed vision and determination to see what you can become by God's grace. You know, when many people turn 70, sadly, they can begin to feel the best of life is behind them. As you turn 70 today, don't allow nostalgia for the past to stop you from believing that God has much more to fulfill in the story of Thornhill. As a work in progress, thank God for what has been and what is here, but remember that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion in his time. He has more work to do in you and in me. The second picture is of the church as a group of bridge builders. Peter says, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The Latin word for priest is pontifex, which literally means bridge builder. And in the Old Testament, that's exactly what a priest did. His task was to represent the people before God and represent God to the people, to be that bridge connecting God and people. But here in the New Testament, Peter is saying something revolutionary. Not just a select group of people, but all Christians, every church member is a priest. Somehow through church history, we've perpetuated the myth that priests are a special group within the church who act on behalf of ordinary Christians. As Baptists, we have traditionally believed in what Peter affirms here, the priesthood of all believers. Whilst we honour the role of pastors, teachers and leaders, we remember we are all involved in serving God and ministering to others. We are called to offer our worship and prayer to God and to serve others in God's name. Peter talks here about offering spiritual sacrifices, and that could perhaps sound a bit otherworldly and very religious. However, the word spiritual here means spirit-inspired rather than something that's non-material or non-physical. In fact, the context is very practical. In the first chapter, Peter talks about rolling up our sleeves, or girding our loins was the old expression for action. And in the last chapter of his letter, he talks about putting on the apron of humility and being a servant, doing the dirty work. Offering spiritual sacrifices then is all about getting our hands dirty in serving others and bringing the everyday stuff of our lives before God to forgive us, to cleanse us, to shape and direct us. It's bringing our lives before God in worship and showing his love to others in service. In verses 9 to 10, Peter reinforces this challenge to be priests witnessing to the world when he says, "You've been called out of darkness into the light of God's love in order to declare his praises to others." In saying that, of course, he's echoing Jesus' challenge to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. "You," he says, "as my followers, are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." As bridge builders, we are called to be church for the sake of others. But it's so easy in church life and in church history to want to make church something that suits us and serves our needs only. We're called to be a royal priesthood, bridge builders for God, in a world where there is so much need of hope, mercy and grace and peace. We need to remember that familiar prayer of St. Francis, "Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy." But how can we fulfill these two purposes? To be that building under construction, to be those bridge builders, and not get distracted or disheartened along the way? The answer, says Peter, is to keep coming to Jesus, the living stone. He describes here Jesus as the cornerstone around which a building is shaped and held together. The Central Ecumenical Church in Milton Keynes is called the Church of Christ, the Cornerstone. What a wonderful name for a church. And what a truth to be expressed in every church, whatever our name. If we are to continue to grow as God's building, and if we are to be effective bridge builders, we need to let Christ, the living stone, be the cornerstone of our church life. The NIV says, "as you come." Some versions just say, "come." But the NIV's got the thought right, "as you come." It's making it clear this is not simply a one-off invitation to come to Christ, to turn to him as Saviour and Lord, but a challenge to keep coming, to keep drawing near to the Lord, to keep allowing his Spirit to direct and shape our lives. It's a reminder, by the way, that we can get sidetracked and sometimes keep the Lord at a distance, carry on our church life and work without much thought about him and seeking his help and guidance. As we keep coming to Christ in worship and prayer, we are continually being built up into that spiritual house, a place where God can more fully dwell and work through us. As we keep coming to him, we can draw the strength and security we need to face life's challenges and opportunities. As the song says, "Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord of all." As we keep coming to Christ, we can hear his word direct and shape our lives individually and in our fellowship with each other. As we keep coming to him, we can find the resources of love and grace to be bridge builders to those in need around us. As we keep coming to him, we can remember who we are and we can live confidently in a very challenging world. In the closing verses of this passage, Peter reminds us that once we were no people, but now we are by God's grace, God's people. A witness to that wonderful New Testament truth, a gospel truth we all need to realize that in Jesus we find our value and identity as children of God. Nobodies become somebodies in him. You may think you're not much of anybody. You may think others think you are nobody, but in Jesus, you and me, we are all somebody. So that brings us back, doesn't it, to the question I asked at the beginning. Do we know who we are? And are we remembering who we are? Over the past 5 years, Jack and I have been helpers at a weekly dementia singing group. We've seen the joy and therapy singing brings to those who suffer this awful illness. But on the downside, we've also seen the deep sadness of those who over time have deteriorated to the point where they don't even know who they are. That's so sad for them and their loved ones, to lose that sense of identity, that uniqueness of who they are. It's also sad when a church forgets who they are. So on this anniversary, let's resolve to remember who we are as we keep coming to Jesus, the living stone, to continue being built into that spiritual house and to be that royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices to God and service to others. Amen.